If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
This is Dr. Rob Stahl. What should you expect at your age? The answer is a lot, and that's what we're here to explain. We actually have Ms. Janice Bauer here from American Portfolios Financial Services, and she will be talking about long-term care insurance. So have Ms. Stephanie Lehner, and she's a reverse mortgage specialist representing the Aging in Place Council. Welcome to you. I'm glad you could be here with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start by having each of you tell me a little bit about yourselves, how you got interested in elder care. They're both pointing to each to start, so I'm going to have to close my eyes and choose. Let's start with Stephanie.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Stephanie Lehner. I am a reverse mortgage specialist. I am here today. I've lived in Buffalo for about 3 years. I'm an implant from the great state of California, and I do love it here, no matter what anybody says. Why did you come here? I'm here, and I love it. And the whole idea about aging in place is to allow people to find out the services and the things that they need that will show them how's their current life or where they're living or how their situation is, to allow them to stay in their homes longer.
Now it's your turn, Janice. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to be a long-term care insurance specialist.
Good afternoon. I'm Janice Bauer, branch manager of American Portfolios Financial Services, which is in Clarence, New York. And after working for Meals on Wheels and transitioning over into becoming a planner, that was the area that I chose to specialize in. I work with several elder law attorneys, and I work with a few accountants as well, and try and help a client sit down and get a well-rounded look at what they have going in their life, and then help them plan for all the perils that pop up throughout their life.
Well, and that's wonderful also, and I know a lot of people don't like to talk about financial issues. Financial issues certainly are on everyone's mind, and that's why we're doing this show today. Two areas that people may or may not have heard about. I think long-term care insurance people have heard about. Reverse mortgages, not so much so. Let's start by talking about reverse mortgages, and I think most people know what a mortgage is, but define that so we can understand how a reverse mortgage might work.
A forward mortgage is where you pay down your debt and your equity increases, so that by the time paid off your house, your debt is cleared and your equity has built quite considerably.
So you take it. I'm sorry. So you take out a loan to pay for your house, and you gradually pay that down. Like you, and as you pay it down, you own more of your house.
Exactly. You built the equity in the property. With a reverse mortgage, what you're going to do is it's the reverse of that. You're going to have equity that will decline and a balance that will increase. So what a person does with a reverse mortgage is they actually convert some of their home's equity into cash that will for them on a daily basis, a monthly basis. You know, that's one of the big fallacies with reverses. People are afraid that when they take a reverse, they're giving up their property to the bank or to the entity that's giving them the reverse mortgage. And that's just not true. It's just a mortgage, and when they leave the property, sell the, or pass away, the mortgage will get paid off.
Let's pretend that I'm someone who comes into your office, and what would be a typical age of people coming into your office to look at mortgages?
Well, you do need to be at least 62 years of age or older, and it does need to be your primary residence. So if you have a situation where some people deed the property to themselves, their adult children as well, if their adult children are not at least 62, then they will not be eligible for the reverse until they talk to a legal entity or an attorney and decide if they want to change that their property. I would say generally the average age that's looking at the reverse now is somewhere in the 70s.
Well, let's say I'm 70, I come into your office, and I just happen to hear about this thing called reverse mortgages. What benefit might a reverse mortgage be to me at this point in my life? What would you say to me?
Well, we're going to have to sit down and look at a few factors in your life. Each person will have to look at it individually and see if it's going to fit into their financial plans. What I would probably do is the first thing I would ask you is, let's see how much you're eligible for. So how we determine that is I ask you simple questions. A, what's your age? When is your birthday? How much do you think your property is worth? And do you own any liens on it? And I can take those factors, put them into the calculator, and it will automatically populate for me HUD formula, which HUD stands for Housing and Urban Development. It'll automatically populate how much the person is eligible for.
Well, one big question I have, and once again, we're playing out this scenario, is how is this different from just a home equity line of credit? I really don't understand.
Well, at that point in time, what you need to realize about a reverse mortgage is, A, you did not have to tell me your income to qualify for this loan, nor do you need to be employed to qualify for this loan, nor do you have any credit risk for this loan or health requirements. Basically, your property itself is what's qualifying for the loan.
What else would you tell me?
Well, there are a lot of different reasons to use it, and there are a lot of different people who should consider it. For example, one of the first reverses I ever wrote was for a lady by the name of Virginia. Her children were having to send her about $1,000 each month to make her bill. And she's sitting on a house in East Amherst, I think it appraised for about $136,000. If I remember correctly, she took about $7,000 up front. She wanted to get a new used car and pay bills. And then we set it up for her to receive a direct deposit of $1,000 a month, but only for 7 years, because in 5 years she planned on moving down south with one of her children. In addition to that balance, she still had $15,000 that she put aside in a line of credit that she could draw from whenever her property taxes were due or her homeowner's insurance was due or special trips, things like that. You know, so she actually utilized all three payouts of the reverse mortgage, the upfront, the monthly, and the line of credit that she could fall back upon.
And once again, coming to the comparison between the reverse mortgage and home equity credit, can you just walk through what would have happened in that same situation if it was a home equity line of credit instead of the reverse mortgage?
I could actually tell you that. Her financial planner is the person who brought her to me, and she had tried to qualify for the forward home equity line of credit, and she could not because she did not have enough income. Although she had a stable credit history, she had income enough to cover the payment of her current bills and the payment that would have been for the line of credit that she would have been receiving. So she couldn't get one at all. She was kind of stuck between a hard place. And then again, with the children having to get together and give her $1,000 a month to make ends meet. It's very stressful for her as well as it was for the kids, because the kids were calling each other going, okay, do you have $50 to send Mom? You know, because I'm a little short this month. So it was a relief for both the children and the parent.
So this information about these reverse mortgages really is just as important for caregivers that might be helping their older loved one with financial issues, and could be a way to help deal with it rather than pooling their money together every month. Here would be a stable source of income that could relieve a lot of that stress. Mm-hmm. Do you have caregivers, or is it older people themselves that approach you for this?
I've had both. I've had adult children, caregivers, attorneys, financial planners. Everyone that looks out for the senior in one way or another has contacted me about a reverse mortgage. My oldest client so far was 98 years old. Hmm. She wanted to stay in the home her life, but she had depleted her estate for home health care because she had around-the-clock health care. And it was her caregiver who contacted me, and we looked into it. And she went through the steps and got the reverse mortgage, and she did remain in her home until she did pass away.
Well, Janice, I don't want to ignore you this segment of the show, so if you do have any comments, feel free in. What resources are there out there? I think you mentioned that AARP has some very good information with regard to reverses. How many people are actually looking into this and taking advantage of it compared to people that really should be looking into it and taking advantage of it? Do you have any sense of numbers?
Well, I can tell you this. In the 3 years that I have been here and have been writing the reverse mortgage, when I first started, it was something that just absolutely hardly anybody knew about. And as time has gone, it is something that as in this station right now, when we're speaking, getting the word out to the senior homeowners as they become more aware, the product is growing here.
Janice, did you have comments?
Actually, I have a question for Stephanie. We had this earlier that my mom has a home and I have a life estate on the home. So she's turned the deed over to myself and my brothers and sisters. And she's over 62, but I'm not. So would she then eligible to do a reverse mortgage?
She is eligible to do a reverse mortgage, although you actually hold title to the property and she has the life use. She'll be doing the reverse mortgage. You will have to go to the mandatory counseling and you will be required to sign the mortgage. But as far as how much she's eligible for, it will only be based upon her age and the value of the home at the time.
And none of the children on the life estate have to be worried about being over there too?
Not in the life estate.
That's a very common form of gifting that people do when they do long-term care planning.
Give us what you want to tell us, the key points that our listeners should hear about long-term care insurance.
Well, first let's talk about what is long-term care. long-term care isn't just nursing home planning. As a very last measure, we will go nursing home. That seems to be the typical form of planning, that people want to stay home as long as possible.
Now, assisted living, is that where does assisted living fall into the continuum of care for older people?
So it starts out at home, and from there we see people start coming in to provide services in the home, so we're still in the home. Then assisted living would come in between. A nursing home would then be full-blown care that is taken care of in a facility.
Okay, I just want to clarify that when we're talking about long-term care insurance, the coverage for those services would include all of the things we just talked about.
It covers everything but paying family members. So you come in, and I get to pick, and it's kind of like going to a doctor, and he asks questions, and I'm going to ask similar questions. Usually the worst one is, how old are you? So it's not hopefully too painful.
Well, I'm proudly 48 years old right now.
Okay, and you come on in, and then I look at your health and make sure that you're insurable. And long-term care insurance is interesting in that the insurability is very much different from life insurance. So what you think might disqualify you does not, and things that you think would never disqualify you do. And so let me give you an example. Anyone who's had cancer or any type of a heart issue, as long as the treatment has been rendered and now you are fine and you are stable, and about 6 months or so has gone by, depends upon the condition, then usually you're insurable. However, if you're somebody who uses a four-prong cane, then you are uninsurable. So long-term care insurance is looking at how you are able to take care of yourself, not necessarily your longevity. I'm going to ask if you have children, because you will then try and have your children help you out if at all possible. If you don't have any children, that's a big concern to me, that you will have no one to rely on. When people come in for planning, usually there's two things that I'm going to hear. The first thing is, I want to preserve all my assets. I worked all my life for these things. I'm, you know, a blue-collar person. This is all I have. I don't want to give it all away. I'm willing to care, but I'm certainly not willing to give it all away. So that's number one, what they're looking to protect. Number two is, I don't want to burden my children, or I want to maintain my independence. I don't want to ask my children for help. So we're going to take a look at those two. What are the biggest issues for you? What solutions do we have with what you already have in your life? And if we don't have those solutions readily available, which with, you know, $100,000 of qual, if we don't. The average cost right now in Erie County is right around $86,000 per year. The average stay is about 2.5 years.
Let's say I'm this perhaps typical Western New Yorker that you know, wants to keep all their money, doesn't believe in insurances. Mm-hmm. Something happens to me, I'll just deal with it. Mm-hmm. How are you going to convince me, or what are you going to say to me, that this really might be in my best interest?
Well, one thing that we have to learn at Buffalo is that sometimes we have to spend money to save money. Let me take an example and say that you have $200,000 in assets, and I go up to your children and I say, children, you have a 1 in 2 chance that your mom is going to leave this money on to you. But your mom can turn around and buy a long-term care policy. The premium will make up a premium. The premium will be $2,000 a year. We expect her to live another 20 years, so your mom will pay a total of $40,000 out of her $200,000. Forget about, does it earn interest or anything like that. She has $200,000. We subtract out $1,000 for premium payments for all those years. You now have $160,000 left. I will give you a 100% chance that you will get this $160,000, or I'll give you a 1 in 2 chance you'll get the $200,000. Which gamble do you want to take? So that's part of the mentality, that you have to spend money to save money. No one likes to pay insurance premiums. But on top of the kids inheriting the money, mom also has quality of care. She can go anywhere she wants. She's going to receive assisted living care, home health, nursing home care, anything that she wants, and she's going to pick where she goes, and that's huge. It's definitely the case. With the baby boomer population stepping up and becoming the generation that you are now seeing moving into needing all this care, the only thing you're going to see the government be able to afford to do is entice you to buy a policy and give you some type of a tax break on a policy.
Where are the safeguards in this? And, you know, is there any backup like FD or that kind of backup? So that you don't throw you put your money into this, and then the owners of the insurance skip town.
Right. Great question. State, we have some better guarantees maybe than other states do, or some better backup is probably the proper word, and that there's a New York State insurance pool. So if you have an insurer here in New York, and that insurer, just trying to generalize it and get the concept, if that insurer goes out of business, and that, let's say they wrote 20% of all the business here in New York, and there's another insurer who also writes 20% and so forth, the other insurers have to get a proportionate share of business from that defaulting insurance company. So you do have a backup on insurance here.
So it's not like the typical Medicaid spend down model where you have to spend down all your assets or most of them
right.
until you qualify for Medicaid.
You do not have to spend down, and a 3-year look back period is different with a partnership policy in that you're allowed to do gifting and shifting during that 3-year look back period to minimize your income stream. So it's very much a great thing to try. One of the things about the partnership policy you have to remember is that the policy itself you can take and use anywhere in the United States that you want to.
Now, is there an advantage to buying the policy in Florida as buying it here?
No, not at all. No, the policy goes anywhere in the United States. Some of them now go into Mexico and some go into Canada as well, and even some of them can go over into Europe. So, you know, it's not relevant where you buy the policy. Trying to utilize that partnership part of it, then it's relevant that you buy here in New York. When you buy a policy, it's really like buying a car. You can buy a stripped-down Chevy, down windows and the manual transmission, or you can buy a nice souped-up Cadillac. And the more bells and whistles you put on it, the more you pay. And a policy is just like that.
Does the policy cover dementia,
Absolutely.
Something like Alzheimer's
Absolutely.
Disease?
Absolutely, yes.
Where clearly your thinking ability affects your ability to do your activities of daily living, like
yes.
getting dressed, going to the bathroom, eating for yourself, that sort of thing.
Right. Eating is really the first activity that goes, and then bathing or dressing is the second activity. And we always think that people are very seriously ill, and that's why they need long-term care, and it's really not the case. We take for granted that we get up and get out of bed and we get dressed and we go on with our day. And as soon as you start having trouble with two of those activities, again, eating and dressing or bathing are the two of the three to go, then you are someone who's eligible for long-term care.
You've really clarified these very difficult issues very well. Final comments, Stephanie?
Well, I do know that financial planners and mortgage people do work closely hand-in-hand when it comes to these type of products and programs. If Janice has a customer who can't afford to fund that policy, then she can look at their home equity.
I completely agree with that we work together as a team to try and help clients find a way to fund certain things in their life, and this is a quality of life choice.
I'd like to thank again Janice Bauer of American Portfolios Financial Services, Stephanie Lehner, Aging in Place Counsel, Reverse Mortgage Specialist.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Rob Stahl. Thank you. I'll see you next month. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
When I get older, losing my head.